Yes, now, and welcome back to episode 105 of the Top Loaded podcast. And obviously, H, sadly missed out on the show yesterday, which I will recap in a minute. But how are you doing, my friend? Because it's a busy time of your work at the moment with that new 24 plate.
Yeah, it certainly is. Obviously, work never stops. But obviously, like I said, was gutted to miss out, obviously, on Southampton. But like you said, obviously, with the 24 plate coming out, obviously, it's a little bit difficult to try and get that weekend off work. But yeah, other than that, mate, all is well. How's things with you?
Yeah, very well. I've got to say, we had a nice little visit to the golf range last week between our visits. And for everyone listening, H is a secret golfer. We've discovered this. And I don't know if he's going to listen to this or not, but LGL is not a golfer. My driving range, driver head is currently halfway between Canary Wharf and Greenwich. So otherwise, it was a very good week. But before we go into this episode, obviously, a massive thanks yet again to Third Down Displays for powering this episode of the Top Loaded podcast. Your number one spot for all your supply needs, from card care kits to grey preparation kits, I should say, even. That's the better terminology. However, there's a new product on the scene, which I have currently going to start showing off. I will not be showing what card is in it yet, because that's one of the pickups. But these acrylic cases can be purchased over at Third Down Displays at the moment for a great price of £20 or £18 using TTP10, which will get you 10% off. Magnetic top on the slab, just slides in and out. A great display piece. And I know H is probably going to keep his eye on one of these, because normally when Third Down bring out a new product, it normally ends up in his house. So, H.
Yes, this is not something I'm proud of, but
any cards that you think are gonna end up in one of these bad boys?
There's probably a couple. It's probably a couple though. When I get them graded, obviously I'd love to put them in something like that. Be any to get them, but A, back in hand, and B, get them sent off for grading. I'm sure we know what I'm talking about, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, like I say, massive. Go head over there. Obviously, link in our bio. They're tagged in the Instagram post below. But most importantly, there is a direct link to use our discount code as well to save you 10% off on stands and everything else. But first, obviously, before we talk about some of the new releases, some of the new sets coming out, just going to briefly talk about an absolute fantastic weekend at the Southampton card show. Arrived, it's a completely different experience. It felt a very American like vibe to it. Have you seen it in the videos where people were sitting around talking in the lobby area of a hotel for ages, which actually did happen Friday night, just talking, having a good time. And then it was the ease on the day of the show. I probably woke up about 35 minutes before the show, had a shower, literally walked out of the room straight into the venue. So that was fantastic. And it was a great show. Obviously, a lot of familiar faces, which is always nice to see, but also then again, some new faces as well. A lot of deals getting done. I will go through my pickups later on in the episode of what I picked up, but it was a very successful show. Obviously, a massive congratulations to Martin, who will be coming on in not too distant future. We'll talk about the show and everything else card related, but it was an absolute privilege to be at this one. They've just announced the new dates, obviously, in October. So if you do head over to their Instagram page, you'll see the new date. And if you can, I will 100% recommend the show, because stuff does get done in them show. You get good deals, trades, buying and selling. So all round a very good experience. Obviously, not on the true scale of London, but that's not what it was always. That's the flagship one. Southampton is a lot about the actual people there as well. So you actually spoke to a lot of people, done a lot of networking as well. So I would 100% recommend it to everyone. There was a lot of high end, a lot of low end, flick throughs, graded. So do recommend it. So if you can make the October show, please do. But yeah, Jin, just a massive congratulations to Martin for another brilliant Southampton card show. And I think every single person I spoke to said the same thing was, can't wait for the next one. So it must be doing something right if everyone's already looking at the next one. But H, obviously, now looking past the Southampton card show, and obviously there has been quite a few announcements or releases. Before we talk about the releases, obviously the big news in the trading card world over the last 7 days was the collectors have acquired SGC, obviously the parent company of PSA. So now they hold both PSA and SGC, which is probably around 85% of the market now. So obviously they're dominant anyway with PSA. But before we go into the details of little bits, how, when you first read about it, what was kind of your reaction for them acquiring SGC and having PSA now?
Yeah, it was a bit mixed. Obviously, you know, I think everyone's first initial sort of go to was straight away going, oh, that's where we can wave goodbye to the fantastic lead times obviously SGC have at the moment. And I think that was probably my initial first thought as well, was, you know, the turnaround time that SGC has over PSA, for example, is that now potentially going to go down the drain with them being taken over by PSA, or the collective, should I say? But yeah, I honestly, I think there's been a statement come out. I think I've read on Instagram somewhere that, you know, it's not really going to change much. SGC is still going to do what SGC did, and PSA is still going to do what PSA did. So yeah, I think the more and more we hear or learn about it, I genuinely hope that obviously then did nothing changes between obviously PSA and SGC. Whether there'll be some form of crossover, whether there'll be some form of integration, or I don't know what possibly come in the future of it. But I think at the moment, as long as obviously it doesn't, you know, hinder SGC's current turnaround times, etc., and the way that both grading companies are obviously processing, yeah, I don't see it being a massive problem. I think I read some quote from, I think, the owner of SGC was saying, oh, I got bored. I can't work out whether that was a meme or that was actually something he said. I've not actually read the interview or the video that come out, but yeah, like I said, I don't think it's going to change too much, in all honesty, and I hope it doesn't, because the SGC is giving people that outlet to know that they can send a card somewhere. It will add a little bit of value, don't get me wrong. Obviously, SGC doesn't add a lot of value to cards, but it adds enough value on there, and it's turnaround times are silly on there. So you're going to get a card back. And some stickers, for example, look a lot nicer in SGC than possibly would do in PSA if it's just a PC item. But yeah, I hopefully don't think it's going to change too much between the two grading companies.
Yeah, like I say, it's going to be an intriguing one. Obviously, I think with anyone who knows business, it's definitely going to be beneficial for both, that SGC are obviously on a smaller scale to PSA, will definitely be able to work with PSA and especially get people talking and maybe how to improve certain aspects of the business. But then I'd flip it around as well. SGC do things, some things a lot better than what PSA do. I'd say their customer service is absolutely fantastic. Obviously, they're working at 8% of what PSA have customer base, but being able to message them in advance, they normally respond quite quickly if they can grade sank or not. And obviously the turnaround like so, but it's going to be a beneficial one probably for both parties at the end of the day, as long as they do keep it separate, because I think that's what's most important. SGC has its own fan base, collector base, and aspect of you can flip sank a lot quicker if you put in an SGC slab, whereas PSA is going to take that little bit longer. Obviously, the value pricing on both is quite similar, so it'd be quite interesting to see how that goes in the future, whether now that they've been acquired SGC that the prices might be able to slightly change, because obviously it's not all about the final entity. But like I say, until we know more, it's very hard to say because it's still quite fresh and new. But do you think this is going to have any effect on like their competitors now? Obviously, there's quite a few more grading companies out there, and with such a high stake of the market and being able to really control the overall scene, obviously it's going to have implications on CGC and Beckett, to name a few. So do you think it's going to be quite intriguing to see how CGC, more importantly, how Beckett respond as well, because they're slowly dwindling numbers wise, especially BGS. So it's quite an important time in the grading world, I'd say, that other companies need to not up their game, so to speak, but just realize as well that it's a big time. Grading's getting bigger. More people are grading stuff. And if your numbers keep going down, it might not be much longer left for you really getting that market share as they once was.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's just going to be a case of a matter of time in terms of how it all unfolds between PSA and SGC, and then what that could possibly look like from a Beckett point of view. You know, like I said, hopefully it doesn't. It's almost like, you know, a similar situation with, obviously, Fanatics, for example, obviously taken over. It's not really done too much in the scene at the moment. But, you know, who knows, possibly with the way PSA and SGC are working. You know, I think Beckett have got an uphill road ahead, if you like, in terms of not trying to sort of climb back up to, you know, I think they're pretty much sort of cemented second, I say second position, you know, in terms of our second tier on the grading company. So, yeah, I think it's just going to be a case of having to wait and see how it all unfolds and what more news we hear over the next couple of weeks, months, and then see, obviously, you know, what aspect or what sort of backlash that could have on Beckett, or how Beckett can then benefit from that. So, you know, I guess So I guess time will tell, I think, is the main factor within that.
Yeah, like I say, I think everyone has their favourite companies. Obviously, everyone knows that PSA will have the most value. But then again, SUC, great stuff that some don't. CGC have its benefits. And obviously, if we open it up to the overall conversation of not just sports, obviously, it's TCG as well. And obviously, then CSG have a bigger share of the market in that aspect. So it'd be intriguing to see how it plays out with what happens with pricing over this year. Will naturally they start to bring it down a bit? It's going to be quite an interesting 6 to 12 months to see what goes on in that space. But obviously, there has been quite a few releases this week. Obviously, some product we knew was coming out. So we're first talking about Premier League Prism, because now you've got Choice. You've got Breakaway. You've got Retail. And you've got Blasters, as well as the Hobby and as well as the First Off the Line. So there's a lot of different product out there. And I've got to admit, I've seen quite a bit of it firsthand, lucky enough, at the Southampton Card Show. The Breakaway looks a very intriguing product to rip. It's normally in the 130 to 140 retail space, and you get in between 6 and 8 numbered. Most boxes are 6 to 7, which is always good fun when you're ripping a box and you get so much colour in it. But then Choice, on the other hand, is far from it. That is a very hard product to hit in. A few very good friends of the podcast, obviously, Lav Breaks has been on in the past to open up one of Choice, and it's so hard to make money out of it, especially it's 8 cards. You're getting 3 red, white, and blue prisms. You're getting, I think, 3 silvers, and then you're getting then 2 others. And it's very hard. If you don't hit realistically a big name, Zebra to 15, obviously greens, it's hard to make your money back, but it's always been like that, Choice. But hey, so obviously, you've seen bit of it come out now or Breakaway, and you've seen Choice. Obviously, it's still an aesthetically very good product, but either of them are like you're eyeing up to potentially pick some cards up of, or is it more a case of sticking more to the Hobby / First Off the Line if you can find them in the wild kind of cards?
Yeah, I think for me, Choice has got a lot of stuff going for it. You know, obviously Nebula obviously is one of the main factors. I think the Nebula 1 of 1 is just one of the best 1 of 1s in terms of design. I think that's, I'm right. That's right. And yeah, Nebula. Yeah. Obviously, Choice as well has obviously the zoo, as I like to call it. Obviously, you've got your tiger print, obviously your zebra print now, which obviously has been released to 15, which obviously used to be a select exclusive, but is now obviously transferred over into Choice. Obviously, snakeskin. So I said Choice has got a lot going for it. But in the same breath, like what you previously mentioned, it is so hard to hit anything from Choice, just given the how many cards and what sort of variants you get in a pack. So, I think Breakaway obviously is going to be more favourable in that sense because you've got more of a chance of hitting something. But Choice has a lot of stuff going for it in terms of aesthetics, just because I love the Nebula, I love the Tiger Prism, the Snakeskin, the Zebra. So, yeah, it's a difficult one because I said Choice is literally, you know, a needle in the haystack trying to obviously hit a low number card. But when you do, the chances of it being a pretty penny obviously is quite high. So I think for me, obviously, Breakaway has been more favourable. But personally, if, you know, money was no object, or, you know, you could pick up any card in front of you as opposed to entering a break, Choice for me has always been sort of a preference in terms of buying in the aftermarket.
Yeah, and obviously, to add to the mix of that, you get retail boxes this year, which are very similar to Breakaway in terms of quantity of cards within it. I haven't seen any of them ones actually ripped yet to be able to give a true breakdown of the product, but I know good friend GBW will have a video up very soon on his channel, I believe, where he does look into the other Prism variants, which is always nice. And then the Blasters are quite intriguing because of what I've seen. The bases are actually pink mosaic rather than actual normal base cards. In Breakaway as well, you got the circle design on the base. So yeah, obviously, it's still technically a base card, but you're just not, at least you're not lumbered with even more just plain silver base cards. It's a nice design. And I've got to admit, the Finite design, some people might have not seen it yet. The black Finite looks incredible. The 1 of 1s that you can get in the retail, if you can find one, have a look on wherever you look, see if anything's sold. The black Finite, in my eyes, could be the second best 1 of 1 you can get this year. I think the Black Shimmer 1 of 1 is still number one. I think that's just clear of the rest. Then the Black Finite is absolutely beautiful. It's, I always say, with the Hobby 1 of 1, it's nice, but it's just black. There's not much to it. It's just a plain colour. Like how you have the reds and blues, the 299, 399. The Black Hobby one is nice. Don't get me wrong. Still aesthetically very pleasing. But you always want that bit more. The Nebulas, for example, unreal cards. So, H, if I had to say to you, obviously, out of the four, you've got Black Shimmer 1/1. You've got the True Hobby 1/1, which is pure black. The Nebula and the Black Finite. If you had to pick an order for them, it's very tricky because not everyone would be happy with any of them. But it's a tricky one to put them in an order now, I think, because black might be the so-called least designed one. However, it's a lot harder to hit that than in some other product. So have you got an order? Because it's a tricky one. I really think it's a tricky one this year.
No, but if I had to, I think I would probably go Nebula first, just because I love the Nebula design. I'd then probably go True Black 1/1 second, the Black Finite 1/1 third, and the Black Shimmer fourth would probably be the way that I would do. Just because I love Nebula. We'll see if Nebula wasn't as desirable. Obviously, I'd probably put the True Black 1/1 up there just because it is, you know, the OG, if you like. But yeah, I think for me, yeah, Nebula, True Black 1/1, the Finite, and obviously then the Black Shimmer, obviously in last, very much not least, put it that way.
Yeah, as I say, at the Southampton Card Show, there was a guy who came up to me and said, "Oh, would you know the rough value on this card?" And he hands me a Saliba rookie card, and I'm like, "Oh, that's really nice." And sometimes with certain cards, it takes a second to twig what actually you're holding, and it was the Nebula 1/1 Saliba rookie prism. And I think everyone had the same expression when they was like showing it's all basically like, oh my God, this is a monster card, beautiful looking card. And that's the first time I've seen a Nebula properly in hand. So now I say it's a very, very nice card, that one as well. So realistically, everyone would be very happy with any of them. But now we've seen Prism be out for a couple of weeks now in terms of hobby and first off the line. We've seen how hard it is to hit Color Blast. I've probably watched 10 to 15 cases be opened. That's without individual boxes. Not seen one Color Blast hit. So whatever their print run to is silly low. It's got to be less than 10 per one. And then obviously your Groovies and Mangas get hit quite a bit. The QC on the Mangas have not looked fantastic. So I've got quite a lot of them have been OC, but it's one of them. It just depends on the actual card. So obviously it's early to clarify all as in all six products, but I think you've got to say it's a massive win. Obviously the prices are settling down slowly at the moment, not necessarily the one of ones, the greens, the golds, but it's a very good product that's really got a lot of people engaged within it.
Yeah, definitely. I think Prism to start off the year is definitely disappointed. I think it's obviously brought a lot of sort of, you know, the hobby back together again. It's kickstarted off, you know, this year in the hobby unbelievably well. We set such a high benchmark. But yeah, it's definitely done everyone absolute wonders, obviously bringing out such a good product that's involved the whole hobby. So, you know, fair play to Topps and Panini for any more products they release, obviously, throughout the rest of this year to try and top that. Obviously, Prism has kickstarted off absolutely brilliantly. So, yeah, I mean, what a product.
I was going to say, and obviously there's been another product released before we talk about a set that's probably going to make our bank accounts squeal a little bit. An interesting on-demand set was released from Topps this week, which not really previewed a lot until it was actually coming out. A Team GB set, which I think is personally a fantastic idea. Maybe the checklist, especially the autographs, could have been a little bit better. But some of the names within the set, obviously like Samo Farah, you've got Anthony Joshua, Leah Williamson, Dame Jessica Ennis-Hill. It's a great set. It's a set that we probably wanted for a long time. Obviously, going back to 2012 Olympics, I think that's what a lot of people really started taking interest in the Olympic Games, especially being our home Olympics. We've done so well. But, H, what a lovely set this is. Obviously, autos, there's some big autos still, but likes of Anthony Joshua has had not many cards. Leo Williams, but in the GB kit, you've got Jill Scott as well, an English football legend. Jessica Ennis-Hill, one of the most successful athletes of all time for Brit. What a beautiful set. And I believe it retailed at £60 a box for two numbers. And it's either a chance of an auto in every couple or an actual, What a good set. Very, very good looking and nice to see something different.
Literally just about what I was about to say in terms of just something different that the Topps have released. Yeah, these little sort of on-demand sets they do, you know, you get so many different cool products. But yeah, this one definitely has, you know, taken a good fancy. You know, so no Anthony Joshua, I think it was a match attacks maybe, or something from the Olympics, obviously. Adrenaline, yeah, adrenaline. That obviously was like his rookie, essentially his rookie card, obviously, way back when. And obviously now he's got obviously a second set of cards coming out. Yes, yeah, it's a cool little fun release. I said the retail really isn't that astronomical. You know, for obviously England women's collectors, Arsenal women's collectors, obviously, like you said, Williams has obviously got a card in the set. And yeah, just a really cool Olympic set that they've brought out, and I'm sure it'll do well. I'm sure obviously it will definitely retail well. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, it definitely is a cool little release with some interesting autos in there as well.
Yeah, like I say, so it's actually retailing at £50 on the Topps website. Obviously, sold out now. Each box does include 36 cards, including a guaranteed autograph card and two numbered parallels, which are to 99 or less, which is always a nice one there. You haven't got triple digit parallels in there. Obviously, still a high print run, but some of the names in this set are obviously some of the iconic people of all time, especially of the Olympics, like icons as well. I'm looking at a few of the names in the icon check list: Chris Hoy, Steve Redgrave, Jason Kenny, Mo Farah, to name a couple. World record wise, you got like Adam Peaty. One. This is a very cool design. Obviously, as we were saying, the autographs are maybe a bit need to be a design. Like you've got Colin Jackson, Jessica Ennis-Hill, Sally Gunnell. Micah Richards has pulled one off in that somehow. Fair play to him. He did play at the 2012 Olympics. But then I think there's one of them that I think most people will be chasing, are the two icon autos, which is so Mo Farah to Steve Redgrave. I think them two HR. If you're gonna hit an auto, you're gonna want one of them two, as well with Dame Jessica Ennis-Hill. But that's gonna be a really cool one to see them ones when they start getting pulled.
Yeah, definitely. I'm interested to see what the autos are like, what the card designs are like. Obviously, I know we've seen obviously a handful of previews, obviously on the Topps website where obviously the boxes were retailing. But yeah, when we start seeing a couple of these boxes, I'm sure, no doubt, we'll see a lot of rips over on Instagram, a lot of personal rips, etc., etc. So yeah, looking forward to also seeing what they look like, obviously in hand, obviously in the market. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, definitely some two big autos to name the two you mentioned.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to the guys over at Third Down about some of the search. It was an idea I had. Obviously, it's always nice. You can always have the idea afterwards. But how nice would it have been if there, even if it was just a one-of-one short print, a Super Saturday triple auto of Mo Farah, Jessica Ennis-Hill, and Greg Rutherford. Obviously, the three gold medals on that Saturday. That would have been such an iconic card. And I think, like I say, it is an Olympic year, and this is showing that they're going to probably, this is not going to be the only set of this year for the Olympics, or especially Team GB, obviously, as they go to the Paris Games, obviously coming up in July and August. So it's starting to show off what's to come as well. Once obviously all the rosters are announced, all the different athletes are announced who are going. But yeah, again, really cool one. Even if it is a set every 4 years, H, I would actually quite be on board with it. I think that's a really nice one. And this is what we want. We want these different sets, which obviously then probably won't do the best on the resale markets of most people in it, but it's definitely going to be one that I think a lot of people will keep an eye on, just like Topps Cricket when it comes out, to name another set. It's nice to see Topps, and obviously, maybe Fanatics have got bits of play in the background, but these sets are quite cool for the collector of these different sports. And Olympics being a multi-sport one, it's only going to go one way, I think, and I think it's going to go down very well.
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, where you have these sort of events like the World Cup, the Euros, the Olympics every couple of years, you know, where you can have a set that's released in line with those events that are happening, obviously it just increases and hype, sort of increases the popularity, increases the popularity of it in terms of, you know, people looking to buy into these boxes, buy the boxes full stop, ahead of obviously the events happening in the year. We've seen it with the Euros in terms of Road to Qatar and all Donruss and what have you. So yeah, it obviously it builds the suspense up, obviously adds a lot of anticipation. And yeah, like I said, when you get some of these products that will come out every couple of years, if you like, every 2 years, every 4 years, whatever, every 5 years, you know, it gives you something to look forward to, knowing how good these products are. So yeah, I think it'd be a cool release. I was ahead of the Olympics, and yeah, we'll have to see, obviously, what they look like.
Yeah, no doubt. It's obviously an on-demand set, so we're not expecting it to be seen in person for quite a while. I'd probably say probably May potentially a bit coming. So let's say it'd be one of them that we once it starts rolling out the doors of Tops and obviously people are opening it, breaking it, wherever they do, definitely one we'll keep an eye out on. And obviously there was another Tops announcement, which they've put the preview pictures out for people, retailers or breakers who are going to be buying the product. But it is an Arsenal set, which a lot of people saying it's similar to Lineage, but I'd probably have to disagree with this one. Lineage was like magnet auto cards, but then also base. This one is purely a autograph set, which are encapsulated. So probably more like the City Treble winner set. But HM, no doubt our bank accounts are screaming a bit because there's big autos in there. There's patch relics, which I've got to admit, not many people did pick up at this at first. But the relic is actually not jersey, which everyone naturally presumed. It's actually parts of the old seats at the Emirates. And the only players who are allowed to have the relic are the people that were in the stadium, so played a match while them seats were in use, which I think is quite cool. But, yep, Arsenal set, Arsenal autos, Arsenal women's autos. Thanks for that one, Tops. But obviously, yet again, looks a good set, but it's going to be still a test of how much does it come out at? Rumour is the 220 area. So it's a bit more of a costly one for three cards, which you get. Will you make your money back? Probably not. But it's definitely going to be one interesting for the Arsenal collectors out there. And like we say, it's going to be hard on the resale market because most people opening it are going to be Arsenal fans. So how many of these cards will actually come up?
I mean, yeah, I'm buying a box full stop. You know, it's one of them things. I think, you know, it's one of the first proper Arsenal sets that's come out since obviously I've been in the hobby. And obviously, the fan set's been released. But obviously, in terms of like a higher end, I want to say, sort of thing, it's one of the first Arsenal sets that's come out. So there's no doubt, obviously, I'll be grabbing, obviously, a box about if I can get my hands on one. But yeah, the you know, obviously, as an Arsenal fan, obviously, it appeals to us probably a lot more than maybe 80% of people that listen to the podcast, but yeah, it looks so sick. Like, I think we saw how obviously how good the City Treble winner was, how good the Liverpool Lineage was, and obviously to finally have obviously an Arsenal set of a similar caliber, obviously not like, you know, exactly like for like, but to have something similar. I mean, the relic patches obviously of the Emirates seats and Arsenal women's autos, Arsenal men's autos. There's just so many cool different cards in there that I just think it's going to be. It's going to be wicked. So, yeah, I'm setting my alarm for that one whenever that gets released because I'm not missing out on that.
Yeah, I thought after Arsenal women didn't qualify for the Women's Champions League, I thought, ah, that's nice. I'm going to get a year off. Yeah, they had to go and get the Arsenal women's license. Yeah, thank you very much for that one. So, that, like I say, when that actually comes out, it'd be a great one. We'll obviously speak about it more. But as I say, the prices are doing very well. Obviously, it is that time where we do talk about pickups. But first, before we talk about pickups, we've got to talk about, to the keen eye in the background, obviously we did mention it, last week it was Dub Breaks' inaugural stream. They was doing a Premier League prism, and we both had spots in it. You had Arsenal and Odegaard, more importantly. I had Kai Havertz. So, hey, Cher, did you manage to hit anything by any chance?
Yeah, I think I did hit, I'm sure you can probably bring it up on the screen now, but I did hit a red Odegaard to 299, I want to say. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's 299, yeah. Also, I hit like an Odegaard center stage. So, you know, a couple of nice, obviously, base numbered inserts, etc. But yeah, I was very happy with the Odegaard, obviously, color match as well. So, it does look really nice. So, yeah, I didn't do too badly, honestly. Didn't do too badly. Honestly, I know you hit, obviously, with your Havertz spot as well. But yeah, I was quite happy with my my first break, courtesy obviously of Dub Break. So yeah, wasn't actually that bad all in all.
Yeah, so you obviously hit the Martin Odegaard red to 199. I managed to hit the Kai Havertz to 299. So there was definitely a few rigged in the chats in that one when we both hit a card in it. But like we say, it was always good fun getting involved. Obviously, they have got a lot more breaks up on their website as well. And they Dub Breaks will be joining us on a episode very soon. Whereas last year we followed LGL through his story of becoming a breaker and all that, this year's one we're going to be following closely is Dub Breaks. Obviously, personally involved with it, but when they come on, I won't be talking as much from my perspective. It'll be from their perspective of setting up the company and going through it all like that, which would be quite intriguing to follow them during the year. But we've got to talk about pickups. And I don't know if H wants to go with his pickup first or he wants me to go with my show ones, but I think he did pick up quite a nice card of, I think it's a Chuluo, I believe, but neither of them signed it on card.
So, see, I've made two pickups, obviously, since the last episode. And I've funnily enough gone for a green theme. Now, obviously, I think I mentioned it last week. If not, I'm sure you've probably seen it on my story. But obviously, I am trying to go for the Erdegaard Obsidian Flood Rainbow, which obviously consists of the green flood to 3, gold flood to 10, red flood to 10, blue flood to 12, and a purple flood to 25. Now, at the present time, obviously, of recording last week, I had got, obviously, the red, the blue, and the purple. I was missing the green and the gold. I have very luckily, since I managed to acquire the green to 3, started, obviously, is currently on its way over. So I was very pleased to pick that. So it is just the gold to 10 left. There is one on eBay, but I'm not going to start talking about that because the guys overpriced it massively, and it's being rude to anybody that wants to ask about knocking the price down. So that was out the window. But yeah, I was very pleased to obviously pick up the green flood to 3. And then yes, also I did make a pickup miraculously at Southampton without even being there. The beauty obviously of being in the hobby. So yeah, shout out to Jack, obviously GBW. We were talking obviously in the Dub Break stream. Obviously you did a little unboxing of some of the cards that I delivered. And he did obviously have a nice Toy Story, dual auto, obviously Buzz and Woody to 99. Obviously said in the chat, obviously, yeah, drop me a message about that. I'm slightly interested. And then here we go, a week and a half later, it is now mine. So yeah, that obviously my two pickups from since the last episode. Obviously, yeah, so like I said, gone for a green theme, funnily enough. But yeah, two very nice pickups nonetheless.
Yeah, before I go through my... But a pickup session, new addition to the PC from Southampton Card Show. I did have one that was not at a show. And funny enough, this is a Pop 2. I've heard the other owner of it actually does collect Arsenal, which is always good. And he actually is on the podcast with me. So that's always a great one. But a massive thank you to All Star Collector for the deal on this Viviana Miedemar second year chrome gold PSA 10. It's just a lovely one to add to the PC. I think gold topped chrome is always iconic. And obviously, again, it's slabbed up already. It just takes away my excuse of not grading it. So it's perfect. It's already graded. I don't have to get stick for that, but like every other card I have in my PC at the moment. So that was a lovely pickup for me on that one. And then also picked up some quite a few nice ones from Southampton Card Show. First of all, actually didn't pay for this one. It was a lovely gift. D-Gen Jr. himself come up and gave it to me from his recent POX opening of Prism. And obviously a massive thanks to D-Gen as well for another lovely Kai Havertz to 299. I might just try and get all 299 at this rate. I managed to actually pick up another one of his Prism cards out in the States, which was his to 25 Purple Mojo. But that'll be quite a while till that one comes over and I can show you that off person. Next, I've done a deal with none other than Dan. Obviously, people see him on there as FWD card. Obviously, fantastic. Fantastic collection. And he recently opened a couple of cases of the Bayern Munich women's set. And there's one player in particular I quite like at Bayern, which is obviously Georgia Stanway. So I've managed to pick up a few cards further from that set. So we've got a lovely 299 of her action shot, 299 of her, like, more of a profile picture, then a 249 of her lovely image. And then last but not least, a 25 auto as well. So I think it's just a very clean set that you don't see much often. Obviously, one of England's best midfielders. And talking on the England theme, and no doubt everyone's not going to be shocked to find out I picked up another Sapphire card this weekend. And this is obviously massive thanks to the UK Sports Card Collector himself. Harry, obviously, runs the London Card Show. Beth Mead, Orange Sapphire to 25, which is, yep, that's another one for the grading poll. It's probably going to stack up soon, actually, on screen.
I think it already has, isn't it?
Yeah, I've already had to like cut it 3 times just so it stays off it. But a massive thanks for him to doing this. And then last one, funny enough, it just seems like we're just giving GBW all the money because these last two cards were from him. But a massive thanks to him for this one. This was a 299 Merlin Heritage Viviana Miedemar, which is just a lovely looking card. And then last but not least, a non-Arsenal pickup and a non-English one, which is a bit different, but an Alexia Putellas Queens of Football autograph card. PSA 8 on the card, but auto 10. So massive thanks to him and everyone for the pickups. I think it was quite a successful week for us, H, even though probably, thankfully, it was around payday.
Yeah, I think we can be very grateful for that. But like I said, yeah, a very successful week, which obviously is slightly unusual for the pair of us to both have a successful week, obviously, in between episodes. So, yeah, I mean, I say long may it continue, but I've now got two inaugural cards to try and locate. Gold to 10, Odegaard Flood, and the Gunther Steiner to 5. So, my list is getting longer of cards to try and find.
Yeah, like I say, it's always great fun chasing cards over. No doubt there have been a lot more added, especially now with like the Arsenal set coming out. Obviously, Prism has not helped that. There's a lot more cards we want to be chasing in that. And who knows what set's going to come out next to start chasing. But H, obviously, it's been a lovely bumper episode. Obviously, talking about the Southampton card show. Obviously, now there's Sports Card Social next week, but neither of us will be in attendance. So, look, it's looking likely that our next show, obviously, will be the next London card show. Obviously, we're going to try and make sure that they don't put a London card show at the next number plate. So when the 74 plate comes out, please DVLA, can you just not have that around the London card show? But it's an interesting, lovely time hobby. But now it's nice to have a little break from the shows and everything like that. And actually just focus on picking up more cards.
Yeah, I think it's also been a bit of sort of a crammed couple of weeks, obviously, with all the shows going around. But yeah, we've got a nice bit of a gap now, obviously, until the next London card show. So, yeah, nice bit of a wind down time, if you like, see what new products have come out, and also then get ready to go back down to Sandown, obviously, in May, obviously, for the next London card show. So, yeah, hopefully it'll be a nice sort of steady couple of months. And then, I say couple of months, it's only going to be, 2 months, isn't it? And also then straight down to London again for the next London card show.
Yeah, like I say, a massive thank you again. There was so many kind words yesterday at the show, as well as on social media recently about the podcast. So, like I say, everyone, just massive thank you for the continued support. It's always lovely talking to people in person as well. But like we say, hope everyone out there is doing well, staying safe and all of that. But most importantly, remember, do use that TTP10 if you do fancy one of them new acrylic cases, as well as all the other products available. No doubt you're going to have to fight H to the colour matches, what he's going to have to be going for on his dual autos, all the other cards. So, don't worry. I think Chris has already got H sorted. I think he's just going to just order in a whole box of slab mags for him, just waiting for the day that I either come back from PSA or he gets that call. But like we say, a massive thank you for every single person tuning in for this episode, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple. A massive thank you from both of us. Hope everyone out there is doing well, staying safe. But most importantly, happy hobbying and good night.